On this Palm Sunday, we are departing from our usual practice of reflecting on Jesus' entry into Jerusalem by reflecting on this special reading from Acts. But the spirit of Jesus' selfless service that drove him to enter Jerusalem, the city of David, selflessness, as Philippians tells us, it permeates our conversation for today. So I find that it is a fitting reading. Now we're continuing our sermon series entitled The Call, and our 7-week journey is going to conclude next week on Easter Sunday. And as people in our church have been meeting in small prayer groups, so we've followed along each week in our sermons, exploring themes around personal growth, church renewal. And our reading today is as provocative as it is miraculous. As Luke begins to tell this story, counting life and death, he seems intent on this foolishness of God that flips our understandings upside down. The story began with the death of Tabitha, a woman known for her devotion to good works and acts of charity. But did you notice there was one other very important description of her? Luke says she was a disciple. Now, this is important because this is the first and only time in Luke's writings that he refers to a woman with the feminine form of the word disciple. He seems intent to call our attention in his very wording to the fact that Tabitha was not just a woman with an impressive spiritual resume. She was a leader in the local church. And referring to a woman as a leader, as someone who could speak with authority over women and men, would have startled ancient hearers. The culture of the time, a normal woman having such a high position of authority was not only taboo in the Greco-Roman world, it was virtually unheard of. This was something that simply didn't and shouldn't happen. Perhaps this is still unsettling to readers today. Tabitha, the woman of charity and mercy, is a disciple. Now, for a church like ours that has welcomed women in leadership in the local church for some 30 years, this can be a bit more affirming to us than it is startling. This is a source of pride, not something we're scared of. But don't worry, Luke is not finished poking with our comfortable understandings of life and faith. You see, surrounded by a group of widows, we can safely assume that Tabitha was likely a widow herself. And in today's world, where widows are cared for with support by friends and family, hope safety nets like life insurance, we don't have the same immediate concern for Tabitha as those around her in her day would have. See, in Tabitha's day, being a widow meant enduring hardships so difficult that it likely meant an early death. Her status in society was tied to her husband. And so without a husband, she had no source of stable income, no real legal rights. Her voice was shut out of the public square and silenced in polite society. A widow was forced to struggle just to survive. As modern readers, perhaps it's better for us to imagine Tabitha as a woman we might see in a welfare line. Tabitha is the maid who comes to clean the house. She's the nurse that provides care at the retirement community down the road. Tabitha is the woman struggling just to make ends meet, finding herself without much value in the economy of the world. But Luke's description of her, it indicates that everything seems to change on Sunday morning. As the church gathers for worship, Tabitha's identity undergoes a radical transformation. The widow, not a voice in a man's world, becomes a disciple, leading a community of faith to do good works and acts of charity. As the other widows show Peter, Tabitha is a woman who clothes the naked in garments of love and mercy sewn by her own hand. Her discipleship has nurtured a group of people in need so they can become a church that gives generously to others. Tabitha's ministry is shaped by her understanding that she is deeply loved and valued by God, and that God has equipped her to serve others and to meet the pressing needs of her community. And her ability to recognize these needs around her and to organize people to meet those needs makes her an incredible leader, one that Luke must praise in his writings. In our prayer groups this week, we called this passion to take action and to help others holy urgency. And this concept is intimately connected to our conversation last week about the difference between a culture of membership and a culture of discipleship. Now, holy urgency leads us to be a mission-oriented, outwardly focused congregation instead of an institutionally-minded social club focused on numerical growth. I love the story church consultant Gail Grossman tells in the book, Redeveloping the Congregation. She tells the story of a formative church planning. I started the meeting with a simple question, she writes. Why do you want to grow? People said, with more people, we can have a better quality youth group. All of our programs will be strengthened and expanded. Our choir will be bigger. The building will feel better on Sunday morning with more people in it. Focus of their answers was inward, on making the church a better place for them. They wanted more of all the good things they were already experiencing. Now, one woman listened and expressed a different view. I'm concerned about those people who live in the very nice houses in our community. They're prosperous people, but their lives are desperate and empty. And I'm also concerned about those living near the poverty level who are losing hope. They all need what we, in the name of Christ, can offer them. She voiced an outward focus. The lone voice also communicated an urgency, Grossman writes. She talked about what would make the difference between life and death for people. She expressed her sense of God's call to the church. The call was grounded in God's own urgency, God's deep concern for all God's people. Her voice expressed a holy urgency. Developing a sense of holy urgency is the first step in a Christian's or in a congregation's journey towards becoming all that God has called them to be. But this sense that God has work for us to do and that God has called us to do it right now is impossible to generate without a genuine love for God and a genuine concern for all God's people. Now, our love and our faith help us to turn us away from being focused on ourselves to look out for the well-being of others. And this is the incredible power of Tabitha's ministry. She dedicated her life to good works and acts of charity at a time when she certainly had her own problems to worry about. Instead of focusing on what she didn't have, focused on how God had gifted her. She focused on how God wanted her to make a difference in the lives of others, not as a martyr without any concern for her own personal well-being, but as a disciple hoping to make a difference in her community. She found her calling, to paraphrase theologian, at the intersection of the world's deepest hunger and her deepest gladness. You might not always think of sewing as a world-changing skill, but for Tabitha's community, it certainly was. And in our lives of faith, we have to learn to recognize not only the needs of others, but be willing to be surprised by the way God has already gifted us to meet those needs. Tabitha wasn't just a widow, she was a disciple. She didn't just lead a group of needy people, she led a church. Being a church, that's something very important about this community of faith in Joppa. They weren't just a random assortment of people who got together because they had shared interests. They were called together by God to worship together, pray together, help each other, to serve together. And this is the same kind of community of faith we try to create each week here at the Anabaptist. I mean, no matter what your job title is, 6 days out of the week, many of you here this morning are Sunday school teachers, children's ministry volunteers. This might be the only place you'll come to all week long where someone with a PhD or a law degree will usher you to a seat, right? Look around the room. I mean, down at the ends of your pews. We have people gathered in this room who are rich and poor, Republican, Democrat, old and young. We have people who are lifelong Baptists, people who are thinking about faith for the first time. And I don't know about you, but when I've been watching the television as of recent and reading the newspaper, to see such a collection of people from different walks of life joined together and getting along, it seems ridiculous. It's absurd. It's about as absurd as an old widow rising from the dead. But perhaps I still believe the church is in the miracle business. Because the miracle of this story is not simply that Tabitha was raised from the dead. I mean, certainly this was a great sign to the whole church. Power of God that raised Jesus from the dead was still at work among them. But even so, Tabitha's not going to live forever. God did not make her immortal, simply pronounced that this day was not the day for her to remain dead. And in that moment, the church in Joppa came together to be a spirit, a community that was shaped by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. One pastor puts it this way. The emphasis here is not upon a return from the dead, but upon a community honing all of its spiritual strength and resources passionately upon life and wholeness. Today, we're called to be a church focused passionately on life and wholeness. We're called to see ourselves as uniquely gifted to meet the needs of our community today. And the great paradox of the gospel is that we don't discover new life. We focus on budgets and attendance numbers. When we focus solely on our own spiritual life, our private Christianity, we discover new life when we look out to care for the needs of others. Follow the Spirit of God to make a difference in the world. Become people like Tabitha, marked by the selfless service of Jesus and a love for God. Our love for others. Because our world is not in any great need of any more special interest groups who want to win people to their side. To be honest, the world doesn't need any more churches that are more passionate about programs than people. And in your personal life, I'm sure you don't need another invitation to a club or dues-paying group to participate in. All of us need a place that we can come to be reminded, to be told that we are deeply loved and valued by God. That we are called together to do something great in this world, to experience healing and wholeness, and to share that with others. The Baptist isn't a place where we gather once a week to sing songs and hear a sometimes inspirational message. We're a church called together by God to serve our community. And we must develop a powerful sense that God has work for us to do. I can tell you from experience that our local community is in desperate need of congregations filled with a sense of holy urgency. We live in a region where the number one cause of homelessness is a lack of affordable housing. We live in a county where we are struggling to retain our great teachers, to continue our great education system because our lawmakers refuse to fund a budget that meets our needs. We've got prosperous folks struggling to find meaning in community. We've got poor folks struggling just to survive. And I can't stand here before you and say that I think we can just sit on the sidelines and watch. I've got too much holy urgency in me. I think we've got work to do. That's why this week I got lunch with Pastor Vernon Walton of First Baptist Church, Vienna. We began to talk together, to pray together, to dream together about what it would look like for our two sister churches to come together to make a difference in our community. But to turn those dreams and those good intentions into reality, we need a community of mission-focused disciples who want to take action and make change. Follow Christ out into the world. And so today, I hope you come to see yourself as someone God has uniquely gifted to make a difference. Although you may think you don't have this skill or that skill, you're not enough this or you're not enough that, know that you are a disciple. Someone deeply loved by God and called to share that love with others, and may God fill you with a burning sense of holy urgency, so that we may go out into the world and fulfill God's calling to do good, to love mercy.